I'll be speaking for a few minutes this evening about a subject that I think touches all of us, and it's a subject that that most of us deal with on an ongoing or even a daily basis, and that's the subject of temptation. First, I wanted to say, as I listened to Greg's lesson on Sunday night, I thought he was going to preach my lesson for me, but fortunately, he didn't. He did not do that. He didn't cover all the things that I have here. He kind of went from a little bit different direction. So we're gonna go and proceed with the lesson that I already had planned. I also wanted to tell you that I'm not going to tell you something tonight that you don't probably already know, something that you probably haven't heard before. But I think it's important from time to time to look at subjects like this and see what God has to say about them and see what we can do as Christians to be more pleasing to Him. So the outline for our study tonight, I want to cover what is temptation. Why does temptation appeal to us? And what can we do to resist and overcome temptation? So what is temptation? Well, if you look in Webster's defines the word tempt as to entice to do wrong by promise of pleasure or gain, or to test. The New Testament uses a couple of different Greek words, and I know I can't pronounce these, parazo and parosmos, and they have a few different meanings depending on how they're used. They means to try, attempt, assay, to test, try, prove, as in a good sense, temptations to sin or of trying or challenging God. We're tempted in trivial ways in our daily lives each and every day. If we're on a diet, we're tempted to eat that piece of cake or that piece of candy or something like that. Some of us might be tempted to go buy that big widescreen TV. It might not be a temptation all of us have, but some of us might be tempted to do that, even though we've got a TV that's sitting in our house that's working perfectly fine. Well, we're not going to talk about those kind of temptations tonight. That's not what we're talking about. And what we are going to focus the study on for a few minutes tonight is this enticement to sin aspect of temptation. The enticement that comes from within ourselves, really, to do what is sinful and contrary to God. And really the best definition I can give you, it comes straight from the New Testament, over in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And as I prepared this lesson and put it together, unintentionally, but when I look back at it, there are several passages that I referenced there in the book of James. So you'll see several references to the book of James in the material tonight. James 1, 13 through 16 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren." So as we see here, God doesn't tempt man, but this temptation comes when we're enticed by our own lust and carried away, and then when we act on that, that leads to sin, which of course separates us from God. So is it a sin to be tempted? Well, we know Jesus was tempted or tested by the devil, and we know Jesus was without sin. Also in James 1 verse 2, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials or temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." So here's a case where facing and overcoming a temptation or a test is actually something that's good. So it's not sinful not sinful to be tested. But what is sinful is when we allow ourselves to be enticed such that we do or say or think things that are contrary to God. So why study temptation at all? Well, I think it's, as I said when I opened up, I think it's something that we all deal with in our lives from time to time and on a fairly regular basis probably. And how we deal with temptation affects our relationship with God. And to remind ourselves, you know, what we can do as Christians to resist and overcome temptation and be more faithful children of God. So what appeals to us? What kinds of things appeal to us such that we would desire to do something that would be contrary to God? Well, the first thing I'll suggest is money or financial gain. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." And we're also familiar with Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, who actually betrayed the Lord for money, the 30 pieces of silver. In Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?' And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. And from then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus." Sort of going along with that, I think power and position, I think that's related to number one there. To get a promotion, to make ourselves look better to coworkers. I think we probably all have come across somebody that we've worked with that would say or do anything to get that promotion or to look good to the boss or to get a big raise, even if that's putting down other workers. Also, Eve was tempted by the serpent in the garden. She was told that the fruit would make one wise, that she would gain knowledge, she would gain some sense of power. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6 reads, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Thirdly, sexual desire or sexual lust. And I gave the example there of David and Bathsheba over in 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 5. I'll read that. It says, "Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about this woman. And one said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' David sent messengers and took her, and when he came to him, he lay with her, and when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, 'I am pregnant.'" Here is David, who is a man after God's own heart, who has allowed himself to be carried away with sexual desire. We all know what the result of that was. That was, as we read here, there was adultery with Bathsheba, but even further in the future, it turns out and leads into murder as he arranges the death of Uriah. Another thing I think that appeals to us is just to fit in. And I said that young people are especially susceptible to that, but I think we're all probably susceptible to fitting in. We all want to be liked. We all want to be part of the group. We don't want to be alienated. And sometimes that causes us to make bad decisions, to do things that are contrary to God, just so that we can fit in with others. I think that's something that we need to be careful of. Temporary pleasure, and I think that goes with all of these, a lot of these temptations. It's something that's temporary. It's something that we're going to get some short-term satisfaction. But that's all it is some short-term satisfaction. And it's not something that is going to be pleasing to God, and it's going to hurt our relationship with God. And weakness to do what is right. I don't really think that's probably something that appeals to us, but I put it on this chart because I think that's something that we need to be careful of, is that there's oftentimes situations that we're in and we know what's the right thing to do. We know what we should do, and we don't do it, or we just do nothing. And I think that's something that we need to be careful of. And this passage Ray actually mentioned in his lesson, James 4 and verse 17, it says, "To one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." So how do we resist and overcome temptation? Well, I'll suggest a few things. Don't put ourselves in difficult situations. And this was something that I think Greg covered on last Sunday night. Don't see how close we can get. You know, keep our distance from sin. Sometimes I think we try to see how close we can get, that's just a disaster waiting to happen. An example was Joseph and Pharaoh's wife over in Genesis 39, verses 10 through 12. It reads, "As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were there inside. She caught him by the garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside." Obviously, Joseph got caught in a situation that either he couldn't help or he didn't know about. But being inside with Pharaoh's wife by himself was a situation that needed to be avoided. And those type of situations we need to avoid in our lives if we don't need to put ourselves in those kind of compromising or difficult situations. Be careful who we associate with. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals, or evil companions corrupt good morals." I think it's very important that we associate with those people that are trying to serve God and that are going to be good examples for us. But we can't choose everyone that we have a regular contact with. And you know, we all realize that there are people that we work with or people that we go to school with that we don't choose to be in regular contact with. But for those that we can choose, we need to choose those that would be positive influences on us. Keep ourselves from evil and from evil influences. Again, in James 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We're in the world, so we can't be completely isolated from all the evil and all the things that are worldly in this life. But it is important for the people that we choose to be in our lives that we have those that around us that are going to be positive influences, those that are serving God and that would be positive influences on our life. And be careful of the various media, TV, movies, internet, and we hear this a lot in sermons all the times, but those are things that we do need to be careful of. We need to be careful because they're all around us. As an example, I was over in Turkey 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was flying home from Turkey, and it's a 9-hour flight, so you're just wanting anything to pass the time faster. So they have movies there. So I watched one of the movies about an hour and a half, and it was fine. But I've still got 7.5 hours to go, so I'm looking for something else to pass the time. So I'm looking through the movies that are there, and I don't recognize any of them, but I found one that I knew one of the actors, so I started watching that one. And I didn't watch that movie more than 5 minutes, and it was so laced with bad language that I just couldn't watch it. I just could not watch it. So I ended up having to just stop it and try to go to sleep. But it's all around us, and we just need to be careful of those things and be careful what we fill our minds with, which kind of leads to the next point, and that's to fill our minds with good and righteous thoughts and don't fill them with those that are evil or those things that are worldly. How do we do that? Well, we spend time studying the Bible. Jesus answered with Scripture when he was tested by the devil. In James 4 and verse 8, we read verse 7 earlier. Verse 7 said, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The next verse, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Spend time in prayer. And I think this is something that it's easy to underestimate its importance and to overlook that. But the time that we spend in prayer to God brings us closer to God. And it's also an opportunity for us to ask Him for strength, ask Him to help us when we face temptation. And put on the whole armor of God. Over in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17, it reads, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done nothing to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." These are the things that we need to put on, and these are the things that need to be part of our lives so that we can resist the devil. So in conclusion, one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust, and when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And of course, sin separates us from God. Temptations appeal to our worldly and fleshly desires. God tells us we can overcome temptations. So we have these temptations that appeal to us, but we can overcome them. We have good companions. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Fill our minds with righteous things. Spend time studying God's Word and in prayer. Be committed to do what is right. And put on the whole armor of God. And also one that that I overlooked in a previous slide, over in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, No temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So we also need to be mindful and look for the way of escape that God will provide. By resisting and overcoming temptations, we can keep ourselves from sin, and we can be more pleasing to God.